Welcome to Falls Creek 2017. My name is Callie Wisenhut, and I am on rope staff. This is week 6 of 8 weeks summer youth camp, July 14th. This week we have 5,162 students and adults registered full-time from 116 churches. You are listening to the Friday evening service with our guest speaker, Ed Newton. During the service, there were 243 decisions, including 94 professions of faith. Enjoy.
Real quickly, students, it's very important for us to begin this moment with a statement of gratitude to all our youth pastors and our sponsors who have served so faithfully all week long. Come on, students, can we put our hands together? Just can we take it to another level? Would that be all right? Grateful for all of you. I also want to say a word of thanks to our Falls Creek staff that has served so well. Several weeks, matter of fact, many of them 6 weeks, 7 weeks, utter exhaustion at points in the journey, but have served you well all week long, Falls Creek week 6. Can we just say a word of thanks to our staff that has served so faithfully? I also want to say a word of thanks to this band. I just need you to know that when I found out that I would be with the Met Collective, these men and women love Jesus. Matt Robertson, though, there's a story in the Bible, and this is not my message tonight, but we have been led faithfully by a man who walks with Jesus. And there was a moment in 1 Samuel chapter 18 when David was holding the head of Goliath, talking to Saul. Jonathan, the son of Saul, heard the words of David. And the Bible would say that his soul was knit to David. And we see a beautiful example of godly friendship. And I don't even know if Matt's listening backstage, but it's more important that I say this publicly. This dear brother has served many of you youth pastors and students so well here at Falls Creek and throughout the state. And this dear brother, who is a very close friend, who, by the way, is a pastor of a church in Houston called the Met Church, Metropolitan Baptist Church. They just call it the Met. The church is nearly 5,000 people. And this is what I love about this dear brother. This is the audience that he looks at every week, but yet would be so faithful to minister, not only in a certain week as a preacher, but come back week 6 and lead us in worship. So could we just say a word of thanks to this band that has been so faithful in leading us. I will leverage everything I have for that dear brother. Everything I have, I will leverage for the success of that dear brother. I will be a Jonathan to that David any day in the journey. I hope and pray that next summer you'll come back to Falls Creek. I look forward to coming back. You are truly a gift. You're walking Hallmark cards in my life, constant encouragement you have been. But we're not promised tomorrow. Though I make plans to be here next summer, we're not promised tomorrow, which means that we have been given this one bright, shining, defining moment. And the question is this: in light of what we've heard, in light of what we've experienced, in light of what we know to be true, will our lives be different tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day? We've heard the question, if you're to die today, would you go to heaven? It's a great question. But let me rephrase and repurpose the question to a group of people that would say, yes, I know I'm going to heaven. So let me just speak to a group of people that would say to the question, if I were to die today, would I go to heaven? The answer is yes, because of Jesus, which, by the way, that's a phenomenal answer. But let me ask the question this way. If you were to wake up tomorrow, would you live for Jesus? And you wake up the next day, would you live for Jesus? And you wake up the next day after the next day after the next day, Would you live for Jesus? That one day, and this is the picture I have in my mind, that I'll be married 50 plus years to my sugar booger. Yes, with a walker with tennis balls on the bottom of it, sipping on senior discount coffee, but still madly in love with Jesus. My prayer for you, young people, is that this Jesus high that we have experienced would continue to be the foundation that we build our lives upon. We have been a part of something supernatural, historic. You understand this. Many of you, first time to Falls Creek, this is the largest Christian camp in the world. In the world. Third rock from the sun. Therefore, theoretically, to take this back to your church in regards to the programming, the facilities, is impossible. But there are key denominators, factors that can get packed up in that minivan or that church van or that bus, however you got here, and can go back with you. That is, worship is not a style. Worship is substance. Churches all across the country, even your great state that you're from, finds itself dividing over worship style. Students, listen to me. Churches are dividing over contemporary or traditional or blended. But I want to speak into a group of not future leaders, but current leaders. May we not get caught up in worship style, but understand that worship is about substance. So we won't make statements like, I can't worship to that organ, or I can't worship to that piano. I want the band that we had at Falls Creek. Listen to me. If you make a statement and you go, I can't worship to an organ, or I can't worship to a piano, it's not the organ or the piano's fault. It's your heart. It's your heart. And let me say this to a group of adults that find themselves at times being critical of a younger generation because they're seeking to somehow take the very style that they enjoy and baptize it in Jesus' name. And therefore, as adults, we'll make statements like, I can't worship to a drum kit. I cannot worship with a guitar being on stage, and we'll use those particular reasonings and rationale. And I'll say this to the adult, if you can't worship because there are certain instruments on stage, it's not the instrument's fault, it's your heart. So to boycott services because it's not your style, and I'm talking to teenagers as well, to boycott services because it's not your style is spiritual immaturity. But listen to me, Falls Creek Week 6, God has called you to a higher level. He's causing us to look at a bar that's been elevated, and we will not get caught up on worship style when there's 2 billion people that have never heard about Jesus, that do not even know the name of Jesus. Therefore, we will say, Father God, here I am, send me. And in the process of that, whether it is a cowbell on stage, which by the way, we all need a little bit more cowbell in our life, or we have the band, or it's a cappella, if it's at the feet of Jesus that we lift our voices, then it's well worth doing. And as we embrace the mission begins today. So we do not say goodbye, we say hello to what God has in store for us in these days to come. And my prayer for you is that you would go back and leave a fat dent for the glory of God on your campus. There are people in your circle of influence that God has uniquely gifted you to reach. Meanwhile, this last verse of scripture of the Lord's Prayer is important for us to look at because it deals with temptation. My fear, not only for my life and for your life, is that we will drift. No one wakes up one day and goes, you know, I would love to be a meth addict today. Like, nobody wakes up that way. Nobody wakes up and goes, you know what, I think I'm going to cheat on my wife today. It is a slippery slope, a fade. It ultimately is one small decision of compromise, and therefore you find yourself in utter destruction. Sin will make you pay more than you've ever wanted to pay, and Satan is on the prowl, and he's seeking to devour. And because our souls have been secured because of King Jesus and his sacrifice upon the cross, don't you think for a moment that Satan is going to roll out the red carpet for you and allow you to change your world. It will come at a great cost when you and I say, I'm all in. When I fully submit and surrender my life to his purpose, his plan that's pleasing, all of hell begins to focus in on you in order to discourage you, defeat you, disconnect you, cause you to walk through depression, whatever it may be, to somehow sidetrack you and sideswipe you. But may you not give up, may you not give over, may you not give in. Because of Jesus Christ, may we stay faithful with our eyes fixed and focused on him. He is the reward. And when we stand before him, may he say these words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He will not say, well done, thy good and faithful pastor. He will not say, well done, thy good and faithful missionary. He will not say, well done, thy good and faithful fill in the blank. He will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Therefore, since he's bought me with the price, my life is not my own. I'll wake up every day. I'm going to get to preaching here in just a second. I promise you that I'll wake up every day and lay my life on the altar of sacrifice. And I'll go, my hands are yours. My feet are yours. My heart is yours. My mind is yours. My eyes are yours. All of me belongs to all of you. And God, I say, take all of me. Use me for your fame and for your glory. And every breath that you put into me, I will exhale in worship and adoration of you. Come on, let's clap our hands to that. Amen. So one last time, Falls Creek week 6, if you got a Bible, Matthew chapter 6. I so hope and pray that you'll take that tradition back to your church, wherever you're from. But once more, here's the warning label. Make sure you tell your pastor before he stands up in the pulpit this weekend. Now we get to Matthew chapter 6. I've asked our ministers, Illumination, Magnification, which by the way are phenomenal men and women here at Falls Creek that serve in the Battlestar Galactica back there in the back, that put all this stuff together and words on a screen, and I've asked that they would put the Lord's Prayer in its entirety. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. We don't get caught up in translations, but we do want to stay as close to as the original as possible. And I'm just reading from the ESV. There's a lot of great Bible translations, but I would hope and pray that we could get these words on the screen to where we could read the Lord's Prayer in its entirety together. And so I'm going to ask our ministers of Illumination, they've already put this behind me. Let's read this together slowly but strong. Let's begin. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, real quickly, if you have something to write with, I am going to give you some principles to write down. But I want to ask that you would be so kind to write down the adjectives, the characteristics of our great and glorious God. Which, by the way, when you look at verse 9, our Father, right off to the margin of your Bible, maybe in your notes, Father. It's a characteristic that we need to know. He's a good, good Father. And because he's a good Father, we must see ourselves as sons and daughters. I'll never forget, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, speaking at a Disciple Now event. And I come into the Hampton Inn after the Friday night evening gathering, and there was a young Bible study leader, a college student, leading a group of middle school students and high school students at this conference I was speaking at. And I thought for a sweet second that there was a tattoo on his wrist, but then I discovered it was permanent marker. I said, hey man, my name's Ed, really nice to meet you, and just got to ask you a question, if it's okay. What do you have on your wrist? It said, it looks like you wrote the word sinner. He goes, yeah, I did. I go, so that's not a tattoo, that's permanent marker. You write that down every day, apparently. You retrace the word sinner. I go, you help me just understand why you do that? What's the reason that you do that? He goes, I just need to be reminded I'm a sinner saved by grace. And if I look at that phrase, sinner, it'll encourage me not to do stupid stuff. I go, man, that's pretty cool. I said, but can I just be honest with you? I'm not a real smart dude. My butter slides off my biscuit often, I promise you. I said, but you're writing the word sinner to motivate you not to do stupid stuff. I said, I'm just being real, man. I don't need to be reminded I'm a sinner. I already know I'm a sinner. The stupid stuff reminds me that I'm a sinner. But what I need to be reminded of, if that's the motivation for you, is that God doesn't see me as a sinner. He sees me as a son. So if the motivation is for you not to do stupid stuff, maybe you ought to take that permanent marker and not write the word sinner, but write the word son. Because when I look at the word son, I would realize the fact that Jesus loved me, died for me, bought me, adopted me, redeemed me, reconciled me, and because of that, it would motivate me not to do stupid stuff, because even in the midst of me doing stupid stuff, he's still going to be my father. He never gives up on his kids. Does that make sense to anybody else in the room? He's father. Not only is he father, just write this off to the side, he's king. He's king. Presidents will come and go, but King Jesus rules and reigns forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not only father, he's king, he's provider. Give us this day our daily bread. He's also forgiver. He's father, king, provider, and forgiver. But now we get to verse 13, and there are two characteristics. He's leader and deliverer. Leader and deliverer. Now, as we get to this section of scripture, I want us to write down a couple things, if you don't mind. Let me just read in its entirety verse 13 and we'll break it down and then seek to reconstruct it Lego style, block upon block. Verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. First phrase, lead us. Point number one, write this down. We notice the mindset in the fight. The mindset in the fight. Lead us. That is, I'm astonished in awe and wonder that God would desire to lead us. Not only am I astonished, but it's important that we acknowledge the very necessity for him to lead us. Every day we must seek him first. Every day we must wake up and go, God, not my will, but thine be done. Every day we must wake up and say, God, I seek to walk in your wisdom. I seek to walk in your strength in and of myself. I will fail today miserably. I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So lead me. Allow him to be authoritative in your life. Your dreams, your desires, your demands, they fall at the feet of Jesus. And therefore, we understand he writes a bigger story on our life. It's Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. And when we wake up every day, we understand there's a big difference between a good dream and a God dream. And God's got a God dream for you. Do not settle for good dreams when God's got a better dream for you. Embrace the God dream. Good dreams are great dreams, but when a God dream begins to somehow land on your heart, a God dream is much better than a good dream. Purpose, plans, pleasing unto him. There was a tactical element in the Navy. Two vessels working through the turbulent seas as the night began to draw nigh. That is difficult to see amongst open water. As the storm began to come in, making it even more difficult because the fog permeated literally every inch, was just difficult to allow your eyes to focus. All of a sudden came the shout. There was a light starboard side. All of a sudden the signalman begins to flash the command of the captain of the battleship. Change your course 20 degrees. From the vessel in the distance came the signal from the signalman. Change your course 20 degrees. This went back and forth. Change your course 20 degrees. No, you change your course 20 degrees. All of a sudden came this response. I am the captain of this battleship. Then came this response. I am a second class seaman of this lighthouse that cannot change its course 20 degrees. As to say, there was about to be a head-on collision with an immovable object, a lighthouse, as the battleship unfortunately had lost its bearings. Please understand that oftentimes we feel as if we are the captain of our soul, but what we've learned here at Falls Creek is there is a God who is the light of the world, and because he's the light of the world, he's illuminated the darkness of our heart. And when we at times begin to bow up against God and go, this is what I want to do, God goes, no, you change your course 20 degrees, because I promise you, if you don't, you will crash upon the shores of the unfortunate in your life. And I've looked out for you. I'm speaking into your life. And for many of us, including myself, we struggled in science. I'm talking C minus. And oftentimes I found myself at your age with a C minus in biology, C minus in chemistry, trying to tell the God of the universe how to run my life. May we understand the mindset of the fight. That is, there is a real cosmic battle taking place, and Satan would find no greater joy than somehow, some way, even tonight, you opening the door of temptation to your soul to go, you know what? I've let my guard down. Nobody wakes up once more to go, you know what? I want to go back to the lifestyle that I was delivered from. Many of you have made significant decisions that will change your life forever. But may you understand, because you've made those decisions, you are now walking with a bullseye on your back from the host of hell that will do everything he can to get you to go back to an old way of life. But may you understand, you have been forgiven. You are free. And because you are free, where the Son has set you free indeed. And therefore, because of that freedom, you walk not, that is, fighting for victory. You already have victory, and all you got to do is tap into the power source that raised Jesus from the dead, which is the Holy Spirit. And guess where he lives? In you. He lives in you. In you. Point number two, write this down. Not only do we see the mindset in the fight, number two, the misunderstanding in the fight. The misunderstanding in the fight. As we look back to verse 13, lead us not into temptation. Oftentimes, the way that we read that is as if God leads us into temptation. That is not what this verse is teaching. For example, letter A, letter B, under point number two, write this down. God tests to prove. I'll say it again. God tests to prove. Letter B, Satan tempts to provoke. Satan tempts to provoke. God tests to prove. Satan tempts to provoke. Write down this reference. This is important for you to get to your heart. James 1, 13 through 15. James 1, 13 through 15. Let no one say when he is being tempted that God has tempted you, for God does not tempt anyone with evil. But verse 14, but each person is tempted when he is being enticed by his own desire. Which many of you this week, and I've watched many of you guys and ladies down by the creek and by Price Falls fish here at Falls Creek. It's a beautiful thing to watch many of you on the shoreline with an optimistic reality that maybe, just maybe, you'll find something by putting that lure into the water. As I was watching many of you this week open up your tackle box, you had an assortment of different lures hoping to entice that bass to come out from the weeds to, yes, bite on that lure that you were hoping to entice that bass with. Listen to me, Satan has a tackle box and it's full of lures. If God calls you son and daughter, Do you honestly think that God opens up a tackle box going, I wonder what I can do to cause my son or daughter to stumble or to fall? God does not do that. He's a good, good father. That's why it's important that we understand that. But Satan is the one who entices, but what he entices you with may be different from someone else that is sitting next to you. But here's what we must understand. All of us will be enticed regardless of your age, regardless of what chapter you find your life in, regardless if you get married, because oftentimes people will go, this sexual temptation that I face now will all go away when I get married. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And when you and I think about the temptations that we face, understand it's an enticement and there is a hook. By the way, the sign language word for temptation is this right here. Literally, you tap your elbow, but watch this. The sign language word for temptation, the reason why it's tapping the elbow is because this is the fishing lure and this is the hook. Satan's bait may look attractive and appealing and an assortment of various colors, but brothers and sisters, it's got a hook in it and it will mount you on the wall. It cannot take your soul, but don't you know this? Yes, our soul goes to heaven, but Satan is seeking to build a wall of young men and young ladies that have bit the hook and have unfortunately embraced scandal and shame, and Satan finds great glory in trying to wreck your lives. Your testimony is what he's coming after. I can be a Christian for 26 years, true statement, and 26 years build a testimony of character, integrity, faithfulness, but I can lose my testimony in 26 seconds. May we not fall prey to, as Lecrae said, these honey dip lies, because they all got a hook. The mindset in the fight. Point number two, the misunderstanding in the fight. God does not tempt you. He tests you. Satan's the one that tempts you. God is not the author of your problems. He's the rock and the refuge, the strength, the tower in the midst of it to run to. May you see him as that. The misunderstanding in the fight is that Satan, wants what's best for me. No, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is, his plan is for you to doubt the plan of God. Satan's plan is for you to deviate from the protection of God. Satan's plan is for you to distrust the provision of God. Satan's plan is for you to deny the power of God. Satan's plan is for you to despise the precepts of God. That's Satan's plan for you. But may you understand that there's a God who allows you to recognize that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. Faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able. And in that temptation, he'll provide a way out. Point number three, write this down. We see the miracle in the fight. Not just the mindset. Number two, the misunderstanding. Number three, the miracle in the fight. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver. It's the word rescue. Don't you know that there's a God that seeks to rescue out of every temptation that you face? He provides a way out. Would you look for that way out? Sometimes you'll find yourself in a situation. You did not make a decision to get in that, but unfortunately, that honey-dipped lie, that temptation found you. Wrong place, wrong time. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, you got to make a choice. And that's why I said what I said the other day. There are just two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. The moment you choose to please self, you have bit the lure and the hook will snag you. snare you, shame you, and eventually cause scandal in your life to develop. But praise be to God that we have a God that gives us second chances. He relentlessly pursues us. He wipes us off. Our identity as sons and daughters is this: neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor present, nor future could ever separate us from His love. His love is fixed on you. And may you hear this with a fresh new set of ears tonight. Not only does God love you, hey bro, He actually likes you too. He actually likes you. He wants to be intimately involved in the details of your life. And the miracle in the fight is that God seeks to deliver you. I'll never forget my wife, being a school teacher, had a teacher in service work day. And so I took the kids to McDonald's for breakfast. And as I watched my kids play in the several-tiered contraption, I watched London and Lola and Liv on the highest level coming across the cargo net. London, Lola, and then Liv. Liv was the youngest at the time. Now Lawson is our youngest. And then all of a sudden, when Liv got into that cargo net, many of you know what I'm talking about, two tubes connected by a cargo net. When she got into the cargo net, you know that it droops a little bit. And in that moment when it dropped, it paralyzed her with fear. She begins to clamp on to those little links and begins to scream. And I won't do it with the microphone so close to my face, but it sounded like this: "Daddy." And this is what she said: "Come get me." So all of a sudden, I'm now beginning to track that voice. One of the things that will happen when you become a parent, God puts sonar into your heart. And when your kids scream and cry, you're able to hear it over the madness and the chaos. And all of a sudden, it was like, beep, 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 beep. And I looked up, and there she was. And at that moment, all of a sudden, I go, Liv, before I could finish it, Liv was like, "Daddy, come get me." And at that moment, I'm trying to, one link at a time, get her to go across. She said, "No, Daddy, come get me." I looked at London and Lola. I said, "Drag her out any means necessary. Just yank her out. Navy SEALs, I'm asking you to be. Drag her out. No girl left behind. Drag her out." At that moment, Liv began to clamp down. "Daddy, come get me." Tears started flowing down her face. I now look at Grimace. Do you know who Grimace is? Grimace, one of the characters from McDonald's. He's the measurement. If you're above this height, you're not allowed onto the playground. At that moment, I'm like, "Not today, Grimace." And all of a sudden, I begin to weave through this several-tier contraption, finally get to the cargo net, get Liv out of that, weave back down through that contraption, and all of a sudden, the sweetest words that a daddy could ever hear comes out of the lips of Liv. She said, "Daddy, I knew you'd come get me." You may find yourself in the cargo net of sin, but you got a Heavenly Father that will go to the extreme measure to get you out. He will come after you. And if you find yourself, listen to me, not only spiritually, but you need some men and women in your life where you find yourself. Because I'm saying this to my kids. If you ever find yourself in a situation that you go, "I don't want to be here anymore," and your first thought is, I can't call my dad, I need you to erase that and go, "I need it to be your first thought. I'll call my dad. No matter what, he'll come get me. Yes, I was stupid putting myself in this situation, but my dad will not in that moment somehow belittle me. He'll just come get me out of that. Yes, later we'll talk. Not in the moment, but he'll just come and get me, snatch me out of that." You have a Heavenly Father that wants to do that. And if you don't have an earthly father, here's what I'm saying. There are a lot of men who love Jesus that, yes, have other biological families that would love to somehow come alongside of you and be that person in your life. I promise you. You might be sitting next to him right here, right now. Right here, right now. The miracle in the fight is that we have a Heavenly Father that says, "I'll come get you. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." And here's the phrase: He delivers us. But I love this last statement, and we'll be done. And it's the motivation in the fight. Number one, the mindset in the fight. Number two, the misunderstanding in the fight. Number three, the miracle in the fight. Number four, the motivation in the fight. That is, He delivers us from evil. Many translations say it this way: from the evil one. I'll close with this. The motivation in the fight is this, is that Jesus Christ is the undefeated undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. He's the one praying the prayer, teaching us to pray the prayer. And here's what you need to know. The motivation in the fight is that there is a battle, yes, not of flesh and blood, principalities and demonic forces. Couple thoughts real quickly. I was at a youth camp one time, and at the end of the week, there was a young man sitting in the back. I was told he was autistic, and he was nonverbal, and he would draw as I was speaking. All week long, he's drawing. He'd look at me, he'd draw. Look at me, draw. Nonverbal. At the end of the week, last night of camp, a night like tonight, here's what I did. I just said, hey, listen, all week long, I've watched you from the stage draw. I would love to see what you draw while I am talking. At that moment, I'll never forget this. I thought he would say no by just simply choosing to not look at me, but he looked at me and he flipped open his sketchbook, and in that moment I literally, this is the sound I made, I went oh. And then I said this, I go, this is what you see? Nonverbal, he just said, and what I saw, I'll never forget. Skinny dude on a stage holding a microphone. He was drawing it from this angle, the back of the heads of his peers, students, him sitting in the back. That's not what captivated my attention. It was demons and angels fighting over the crowd. But all of a sudden, when I began to look, oh, he had it right. I mean, spot on. The angels outnumber the demons 2-1. And the battle of the angels, the God of angel armies overpowering the enemy, was what he saw. You say, Ed, do people have that kind of privilege to be able to see into the spirit realm? Absolutely. It's going on. I'm not trying to creep you out right now. I'm just telling you, there is a battle for your soul. There is a battle for your life unto godliness. And it reminds me of a young student that came home from like a weekend event where it was all about Jesus. And as he was in the bed one particular night, the conference is over, covers up to his neck. He said, Dad, would you pray that I won't be scared of the demons? All of a sudden, the father goes, where did you hear about demons? He goes, I was at this event and the preacher guy was talking about demons. He goes, Dad, I'm creeped out by demons. Like I'm completely freaked out by demons and I'm just gonna sleep with the light on tonight. And all of a sudden, sophomore in high school, big football player, all of a sudden looks at his dad and goes, Dad, would you pray that I won't be scared of the demons? His dad goes, no, I'll never pray that for you. He goes, Dad, you're not gonna pray for me? He goes, I didn't say that, but I'm not going to pray that. He goes, Dad, then what would you pray? He said, son, I'll never pray that you won't be scared of the demons, but my prayer, and this is what I'm saying to you, week 6, Falls Creek, the Father's prayer is what I want to pray over you, that you won't be scared of the demons, but the demons will be scared of you. I'm not a victim. I'm a child of God. I'm redeemed. I'm chosen, precious in my Father's sight. Love beyond measure. I'm forgiven, free to forgive others. This is who I am. This is my identity. Repeat after me. I'm not a victim. I'm a child of God. I am redeemed. I am chosen, precious in my Father's sight. Love beyond measure. I am forgiven. Free to forgive others. This is who I am. This is my identity. I am not a victim. I'm a child of God. I am redeemed. I am chosen. Precious in my Father's sight. Love beyond measure. I am forgiven. Free to forgive others. This is who I am. This is my identity. Can you honestly say that's who you are? I want everybody to look right here. Just everybody look right here. I want you to answer this question in all sincerity. Has there been a time in your life where you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Look at me. Come on, just look at me. Has there been a time in your life you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I didn't ask you if you've been to church. I didn't ask you if you've been baptized. I didn't ask you anything else except for the fact, has there been a time in your life where you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And if you have, and you can honestly answer that, please do not raise your hand because someone else raised their hand. Could you honestly man up and woman up in the moment, confirm or deny in this moment and go, I have invited Jesus Christ in my life. And if you have, raise your hand. Praise be to God for this testimony. I want you to put your hands down if you don't mind. Some of you in this moment with true character, integrity, honesty went, can't raise my hand. First of all, I respect the fact that you would not just follow a crowd. Took courage for you to be honest about that. But here's what I'm gonna say to you. If you have not invited Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to pray.